Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Quarry After Show. We've got one episode still left, but today we're discussing episode 7, where Olsen is about to catch Max. So, oh my god, what a cliffhanger. And we've got a special guest, so stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Max got to stay alive.
It's Halloween in Quarry Town, or I'm just going to call it Quarry Town.
Yeah, I think it's Memphis, but Quarry Town works better.
I know it's Memphis, but Quarry Town.
Yeah.
We have Akrisha. Welcome back.
Hey, guys. You can always find me at LACRETIALYON anywhere on the internet, since there is only one.
And I'll be sure to get a lot of thoughts for you, because you, as of now, you're 100% not going to make the finale, correct?
Yes, unfortunately.
So this is the last time for this season that we get Lucretia, but we will have Courtney Henderson for the finale, so we do a little switcheroo there. But it is thanks to you that we have our special guest on the line, the character of Marcus, played by Joshua Williams III. Hello, sir.
Hey, Joshua.
Hi.
Thank you for joining us. You had the pleasure of seeing last week's after show, correct?
Yes, I have.
Excellent. And what did you think? How would you rate us?
I like you guys. I always like you guys. After every show, I mostly watch how people reviews about it. And all of them were positive. So right now, I'm just hoping for a season 2. That would be cool, you know. So yeah.
Absolutely. Well, I think there's definitely, from what I'm reading, there's a lot of story still left to be told. Of, you know, there's so many questions, and so if this is it, I know a lot of people would be very upset. They want to see this continue on. Mm-hmm. So I think things are looking positive. But definitely fans at home, you know, show your support for the show. You know, obviously you guys watch it. You guys like it, but be vocal about it. I think it does help, even though, you know, perhaps you might not think it does. But Lucretia, overall, sort of thoughts on this episode. A lot happened. You know, it's kind of getting there, and so, you know, are you excited to see what happens?
Yeah, this episode was so action-packed. Stuff actually happened. Like you said, Mac actually talked.
For the first 5 minutes, I was like, oh my god, he speaks.
And then, of course, I love Buddy. So, you know, especially when they had to pretend to be a couple. That was pretty funny.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the biggest thing, let's start off with this, because Marcus finds the money. And that's a major play. And so I want, you know, kind of... How did what's the right question to sort of ask? You know, what direction, I guess, did they give you to sort of find this money? Because it's kind of in the world's worst hiding spot, underneath the sink in the bathroom.
Well, I don't really know. You know, considering the fact that Mac is trying to find it, Joni's trying to find it, Moses is trying to find it, everybody's trying to find it, and I just find it in the back of the sink is pretty pretty weird. But if I wasn't playing my character, I would probably think that I would find the money too, because you know, I'm this son, I'm supposed to always be there with him, or him telling me where it would be and stuff like that. So the kitchen's the bathroom sink.
Well, let me ask you this. You know, when you do find it, you know, through the eyes of Marcus, what's kind of going through his head? I mean, this is a very large sum of money, obviously, right? And so, you know, and he's still very young, very impressionable. So, you know, what's going through his mind?
Once he finds the money. Once he goes back to Ruth, his mother, he thinks to himself, this is what everybody's been weird about. Because in the last episode, I've seen Joni look for it in my dad's closet, and people are starting to be acting weird and stuff like that. So my character is basically confused on what to do. And so next, I think he does what every kid would like to do, buy stuff. And that's why he bought a basketball and some roses for her mother, since he cared about it and all that. So, yeah.
Absolutely. What about you, Lucretia? What are your thoughts after Marcus finding this money? I mean, because this is a long time coming.
Yeah, and I had predicted that Marcus either knew or would find it because, you know, he started to suspect some things, like with Joni, you know, in the closet looking around, that he thought something was up. So either he already knew or was going to find it himself. But I really like that he found it, and the first thing he did was buy his mom some flowers and a basketball. Like, that's what a kid would do.
Yeah. Let me ask you guys both this. Is he eventually going to tell? Like, does he have intention of telling Ruth? Does he have any intention of telling Mac or even Moses? Or does he try to keep it secret?
I don't even want to give out, like... that's kind of a...
Spoiler territory for you. What about you, Lucretia? Which direction do you think he's going to head in?
I think that Marcus will actually tell his mom and probably Moses because he's developing this bond, but he may just sort of test his mom first and see, you know, what she thinks about it because, you know, I don't think she had any idea that all that money was there. And to me, Marcus, you know, certainly buying the flowers for her, you know, means that, you know, he loves his mom and things like that. Would you do that, Joshua? If you found that kind of money, would you buy your mom some flowers?
I would buy my mom something. Yeah, I would buy her some flowers, but I would buy a tree for me, too, because I found it, you know. So, yeah, without giving it away, if I wasn't Marcus and I was just like a viewer that's watching the show, I would think he's going to tell his mother or probably Moses about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think... Believe it or not, I actually think he would tell Moses over Ruth simply because, you know, I think he's trying to protect his mother. And, you know, Ruth doesn't have the idea of who Arthur really was. I don't think she wants to know. And so in some ways, I think Marcus, you know, is trying to step up and be the man of the house. And if he were to tell her, I mean, that's a very large sum of money. That's going to open up so many questions for Ruth.
Yeah.
Something that Marcus probably doesn't want to do, and so he's going to confide in Moses. That's my prediction.
Right.
Yeah, so. I could see him asking, you know, certainly maybe telling him just to sort of ask his opinion on where to go from there. Do I tell my mom? What is this about? Do you know? I mean, because, yeah. You find that large sum of money and know your mom doesn't know about it, you kind of think it's nefarious.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when a house, you can sell a house for $8,000 and you have $30,000 in basically, yeah. Like that's,
yeah.
That's a, you know, I don't even know how to think in those terms.
Yeah. And with Marcus, him finding just $30,000 just laying around in the kitchen sink, I mean, the bathroom sink. It doesn't pretty make sense because he knows his mother is struggling. He knows that she doesn't have a backbone to depend on if, like, something goes wrong or anything. So just having $30,000 just laying around somewhere, that tricks his brain up a little bit. It makes him think about what's been going on in his life. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I think, too, heading into the season finale, it's going to come full circle because, you know, episode one – and, you know, that was sort of the inciting incident that started all of this. And, you know, I'm really, you know, Mac couldn't protect Arthur. And, you know, it ate away at him. And then when he couldn't protect Marcus on the bus scene, I think this could be like strike three in some sense. You know, I'm worried something bad's going to happen ultimately. Or maybe Mac, for once, you know, can actually put it. Stop to something. I don't know. It's just the show has a habit of being very gruesome in a good way, but yeah. I get nervous when it comes to our people. Speaking of Moses, let's, you know, I know he didn't have a lot, but he did ask Ruth out on a date. And is this business or pleasure are we thinking, Lucretia? What do you think, ultimately?
I think it's a little bit of both, because, you know, Moses, he really comes off as a smooth fella. I like his character. He's mysterious, so I can see certainly why Ruth would be attracted to him, but he's sort of developing this fatherly bond with Marcus, so I could see him going, you know, and being actually interested in Ruth and wanting to help, because he doesn't seem, say, as too far gone as someone like Mac or Buddy. You know, he's more, you know, in tune with what's going on as far as like trying to escape, because we don't really see him doing drugs, or, you know, what he does is music to escape. Yeah.
What do you think? I keep wanting to call you Marcus, but Joshua.
Well, I think it's both too, but at the same time, he isn't going to stop looking for that money. Just because it's just a little kid and a mom struggling together with a baby sister, he gotta keep looking for that money, because he's still on a job, you know?
From your perspective, you know, we'll talk about this at length with Buddy because of what happened, but, you know, is Moses kind of aware of the true power of the broker? And do you think, you know, just, again, what from you as a viewer, that he's kind of aware of that, and that he is scared, and so therefore that's what would prevent him from crossing the line in any way, shape, or form against the broker?
Yeah. I mean, nobody's – look at the broker. Nobody's going to do nothing like talking about it. But Moses, he still has to be on his job. I mean, in episode 8 is going to be crazy, so – keep in mind about Moses. Moses isn't going anywhere anytime soon. It's going to be amazing. It's
going to
be nice.
Copy that. All right. Well, before we dive into the rest of the storylines, why don't we interview Joshua about how did you get started with the show? Why don't we start there?
I auditioned for it in New Orleans. I live in New Orleans. I auditioned. I thought it was the worst audition I've ever done. Apparently, it was the greatest audition that I ever done, because it was my first thing I ever done. Corey's the first thing I ever done. And people was like, really? That's on set. People was like, I thought you was in more things. I'm like, nah. So I auditioned for it. They called me back for a callback, and it was the scene with me and Mac in a car, the car scene that we're going to school. It was the scene that I had to do that on, and they liked me. So
that's interesting, because I mean that scene happened so deep into the season. So it's just interesting to note that they had that already written when they're casting for, you know, a big role like that with you.
It was supposed to be a hard scene, because while we were driving the car, Logan was supposed to be smoking a cigarette, and the cigarette's supposed to be all in the air. And I thought they were going to elaborate more on that, because the script said that, but they didn't. So it was pretty easy. At the same time, it wasn't, because my voice was keep changing, because I was going through puberty at the time. So... it was crazy.
How did you sort of prepare for the role, and what sort of direction did they give you guys? Because obviously the subject matter is I think, you know, it's both gruesome but also highly intellectual in terms of the way it ties into what's going on in Memphis and obviously the United States, but then Vietnam. So, you know, I mean, you're a fairly young kid. How did they kind of present all of these heavy things to you?
Basically, I kind of sunk into it. I read the script thousands and thousands of times. When it came down to the bus scene, I had to really practice. I mean, I stayed up all night. And considering the fact that it was down here, I got to, it was right by my house, but I got to stay on it. I got to study my lines majority of the time. like 24/7. I mean, like, I really wanted to kill that, and that's what I did. Did you guys like the bus scene? Because I think I did a good job.
Oh yeah, that was a very powerful scene.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a very memorable scene, and you know, like when you know, I think if we did like a whole wrap up episode on season one, that would definitely be up there in terms of how memorable it was, because of, you know, obviously its impact, but just itself, you know, right. And what it meant, especially in that time.
Right.
So,
but, preparing for Marcus, I had to get his voice down. I had to discover a new way to not be Joshua, but to be Marcus. So it was kind of hard. At the same time, it wasn't. I mean, before all of this, I went to an acting camp called Anthony Bean Community Theater. I was doing theater. Mm-hmm. So I was used to all of this script. So once it came down to me being Marcus, I mean, it wasn't a hard job to do. I mean, it was hard, but I mean,
yeah.
There's
so many great actors on the show, and obviously you don't get to interact with all of them. But did you get any advice from any one of them? You know, whether you know, Mac or Moses or Ruth.
While we were doing the car scene with me and Logan, who plays Mac, we were discussing like just getting to know each other, you know, exchange numbers. I'm talking to him almost every day. I'm trying not to be aggravated, but Logan and me, we really discussed on how we became ourselves as in acting terms. I discovered that his mom or dad, they were in theater as well, or something like that. I don't remember that much, but Logan and me, we really had a strong chemistry together. Who else? Ruth and Moses. I was with them majority of the time, so mm-hmm. We got to talk about some things. We got to elaborate about some things. How we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And to remember, this is real. So we have to be real. We have to, this is Moses. We have to like really become Moses, Marcus, and Ruth, mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Absolutely. What was, speaking of Logan, who plays Mac, what's he like? I mean, does he talk a lot more than Mac himself? And if so, like, what's his actual demeanor?
He's a nice guy, you know. Logan is. I told him. I don't like to dance. I don't like to act. I like to dance. And he said, "Really? Show me what you got." I said. well, you see, what happened was, and then he was like, "Come on, come on." So I just showed him this finger move thing, and then he got so out of control. He put it on his Instagram, and I was like, "Really?" So
we'll have to check that out.
I know. I'm like, "Oh, we gotta find that on Instagram. It'll be funny."
Yeah, he loves that. Uh-huh. He said, "Keep on telling." I'm like, "I don't have any more moves in me. I'm 14, so." You know,
you got plenty of moves left. Believe me. Ah, man.
So you said you live in New Orleans. Did you grow up there as well?
Yes.
So that's great, especially being how closely aligned with, you know, as far as music and certain histories with New Orleans versus Memphis. Did that help you really develop the Marcus character a little bit more?
Yes and no. I got the accent down.
Yeah.
I got the accent down, but determining like just simple things like walking and itty bitty stuff like that. New Orleans, I love music, and this show has a lot of jazz music in it. I like the Al Green, I like all of it. So it was off and on, like I can't say.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah, I know. I'm a big jazz music fan as well, and I'm from East Texas, so it was pretty close to, you know, Louisiana and New Orleans, so I was very familiar with the music history. And while New Orleans is more jazz and Memphis is more blues, it's just really interesting how they can kind of intersect, and there's a lot of similarities there.
Yeah, especially with the French quarters down here.
Oh yeah.
we had some people down here. It's just amazing.
Absolutely. Now, before we kind of dive back into the episode, I'm curious. So obviously you're very familiar with the show. Are you allowed to watch the episodes? I mean, both in terms of nudity and all the subject matter. Seems like you're very well versed with it.
I wasn't surprised. I was surprised at first. I didn't know there was going to have a lot of, you know, nudity and stuff like that, of that nature. So, we didn't have, do you guys know that we didn't have a premiere party?
We did not.
We didn't have a premiere party at all. We had a, after party when, we were all finished. So they had showed some clips about it. And, Logan was by me. He said, "Hey, are you sure you're supposed to be watching this?"
I'd say the same thing.
I don't know. He said, "Of course, it's your show." But
it's a good answer.
I was. My mom was like, "Turn your head." I was like, "No, it's my show. I'm supposed to be watching it with them." So yeah, I was new to it.
Yeah. I mean, truthfully, there's times I've seen Lucretia and Courtney turn their heads. I've turned my head a few times too. I mean, there's definitely moments that I'm not even ready for.
Oh, I love the violence, though.
I like everything about this show. It was amazing. Let me tell you.
Well, indeed. So let's talk. Speaking of mixing business and pleasure, Olsen is hot. His newfound passion, thanks to the song lyrics. He's back on the trail. I don't know. As the saying goes, bless his heart. He wants to tell the sister, like, hey, like, it's so endearing in a way that he's trying to tell her of, hey, you know, I've reopened up the case. And she's like, wait, so you're just using this to sleep with me to get the case? Like, this is just weird. And then she basically dumps him. Yeah. Oh, man. What a scene that was. I mean, Lucretia, since you're the only female on the panel by default. How would you, you know, do you understand her reaction to it?
Only because I've seen every romantic comedy ever where the same thing happened. Oh, it was just a bed, or oh, it was just for this. But, you know, normally it turns out that may have been the way it started, how you met, but there's still that relationship there. And much like every romantic comedy ever, I feel that Sandy would take back Detective Olsen if he lives through this.
Well, we'll find. I mean, the thing of it is, I do respect the fact that she did tell him, like, hey, you know what? You sort of took advantage of it. However, I also let you, so it's okay with that, but now it's time to end it.
Yeah, she took responsibility, which I like, because a lot of people would sort of play the victim in that situation, but she's like, you know, it's not like I didn't let you.
Yeah. So I can appreciate that. Marcus, or not Mark, I keep calling you Marcus. Joshua, what did you think of this scene, or just their relationship in general?
I thought it was going to be progressing. I had no idea what was going on. I mean, like, I had certain scenes. I didn't know everything that was going on. I had certain scenes about it, so I never really... what they was going to do with Detective Olsen and the girl. And I mean, I, as a person that's watching, I think their relationship was going to go forever. I mean, like, they going on a sofa and everything. Like, oh, okay. So yeah.
Non sequitur question. Have you ever seen Cabaret?
Cabaret who?
The movie that she references in terms of that's her costume.
No.
I guess no. You're just like Olsen. You haven't seen the movie either.
I don't know.
Well, it's based on a great Broadway musical, and the old version with Liza Minnelli is a pretty interesting watch. Yeah.
Yeah, that's part of what upset her. She's like, you haven't seen Cabaret? And he's like, no, but apparently it's the world's greatest movie because of how you're dressed.
Oh, that was such a burn.
Yeah.
He was pretty harsh. Pretty harsh about it. He said something about maybe he wasn't killed. Maybe he was just stupid. Something like that. I was like, whoa.
Yeah. Yeah, at the end, I don't think it was good for him to throw stuff back in her face. Yeah, exactly with that line. That was, you don't do that to someone. But let's, we'll put a pin on Olsen because we'll definitely talk about him more when we talk about Mac. Let's talk about the broker as it applies to Joni B. So Joni obviously puts the house on sale, and the broker's kind of keeping tabs. And he shows up for the open house.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, did I lose you guys?
No, we're still here. Mm-hmm. We can still hear you.
Oh, because I can't see my face. Oh, okay. I'm new to this. I'm sorry.
All good. All good. You're doing just fine. Lucretia, I mean, in terms of the broker, is he just trying to figure out the headspace of Joni by being there? Because earlier, obviously, Mac was telling him that, you know, she knows nothing. She knows nothing. And he, as the broker points out to Mac, this is like the third time you've said that, which obviously implies something.
Yeah, thou doth protest too much. And, you know, that's the thing is the broker's a smart guy. Like I say, he's just a puppet master and they're all just his puppets in this world. And I just like the broker. I hate to say it, but he's just so cool. He's like Gus Fring, you know. You like it. I keep making Breaking Bad references, but whatever. But yeah, him just sort of going to the open house and, you know, getting a good read on Joni and what she knows. I like that. Yeah.
And obviously, in terms of Joni, the big thing was now finally Mac finds out, and his world is torn apart. And she tries to say, like, hey, you bought the mattress. So it's kind of the same thing. You didn't consult me about the mattress. Obviously not the same thing.
House.
Not the same thing. You know, how do we feel about Joni sort of, you know, she does apologize, but she's pushing the issue of getting this house sold. Do we agree with her? Or who do you side with, Mac or Joni?
Honestly, I side with Joni because I don't really understand. I know, for once, I side with Joni over Mac.
Crazy.
I was like, ugh. But I have to say, like, she's just trying to be pragmatic here. And I get that he built that pool and that matters to him. But as far as, like, the house itself and then you still owe $12,000 to this broker, she's trying to give you an out. In case y'all have to run, you know, and sell the house, you need the money. I mean, I don't really, I get his sentimentality here, but it's like, dude, you're a guy, man up. It's just a house.
Joshua, what about you?
I gotta go with Mac because, I mean, and I quote, he said, I just want to finish this last two jobs, a few jobs, something like that. I think he should, you know, he already did some. Why shouldn't he do more to save not just himself, but his house, which is he about to auction. So, I mean, why was he even auction the house or something like that? I don't get that. If I was Mac, I would be so mad because I don't want nobody to a house that he has his own Otis Redding in. A man's Otis Redding is something deep down in him. So,
well, he can take that with him. I did think I do side more with Mac. However, I did feel that his reaction was a little bit childish when he's like, oh, this is what people do when they move. They pack things up. So, you know, he doesn't always quite have the best reactions. But understandably, I guess so. He, you know, she tells him to go see the father. He does. And, you know, he's upset by it, and he thinks, like, buying the mattress is a nice surprise, and he finds out that the house is being sold. But here's the thing, like, to your point, Joshua, you know, he's got two more jobs left. You know, when you look at it in terms of Buddy and whatnot, I don't think it's ever just two jobs.
Yeah.
You're in it for life at this point.
And that's the thing, is Buddy even tried to have another solution, and the broker wouldn't let him. Like, you know, I can be a gun dealer.
Right.
And it's like, nope, you're doing this for the rest of your life, and that's why he turns to drugs. Or like, Mac, you know, they're looking for this escape because they know this is it.
Right.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I think it's one of those cliche things that death is the only way out.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
I don't think Buddy's going to end well taking those pills without, like his mama said, taking those pills without some food or drink or anything. I don't think he's going to do good with that.
Well, he's taking drink.
Yeah.
just not the right kind.
Just not the hydrated kind.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and obviously that's, you know, and the mother's upset with him, but Mac's upset with him very dearly. But even before that, let's talk about the scene where he does present the broker. Because I thought it was a nice enough scene. You know, we've been speculating for a long time. How does Buddy get out of this? Well, okay, so he figures out, okay, how he can be still involved in the business tangentially. And yet the broker completely shuts him down. Like I thought it was a well done like the fact that he has a presentation, you know, this whole diagram, and he flips the page and da da, it's him. You know, because even the broker says like, okay, you've presented the problem, now give me the solution. And I was really worried that Buddy perhaps wouldn't have the solution, but he does.
I was so impressed with that. It was just like, you know, especially for that time period, he had to work really hard on that. It's not like he can just whip up a PowerPoint like we can today.
You're not going to Kinko's.
Yeah, I know. It's like, he did that. He worked so hard. And that was the thing, is it was just soul crushing. So no wonder he's doing drugs after that.
Yeah, you know, and obviously because it represents like, okay, this was the rest of his life. He thought he had an out, and obviously he was just degraded. And basically told no. More than told no. So yeah, Joshua, what do you think of Buddy? It's a loaded question, yeah. I know.
The guy made his own book. He made his own plan. As he told his mother, he said he doesn't feel like doing what he does. And I guess he's tired. We don't know how old he is. Y'all know how old he is?
No.
Going up, yeah. Killing, and I would be tired too. I wouldn't want to do that, period, you know? But he's in a hard situation because he's been in the business for a very long time. Now the broker is trying to do the same thing with Mac.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Mac is going to be just like Buddy, because they have a similarity between each other. So I think it's going to be the same thing. I think the broker is trying to persuade Mac to, you know, come join our side. You don't want to, you know, suffer looking for a job anymore. So you might as well do this, you know?
Well, here's the part of it to me. You know, I think the broker might have to change up his tactics, because, you know, where Buddy perhaps was always so good, I think Buddy is totally okay with dying.
Yeah.
Because the fact that, you know, Mac goes at him very hard and says, like, hey, you know, you don't joke around when my life is in your hands, or however he says it, right? I'm paraphrasing. Well, to Buddy, it doesn't matter, you know, and more importantly, it's not that, like, he might care about Mac, but his own life really doesn't matter. And so if they go in there and they get shot up, that's only advantageous to Buddy, it seems like.
Yeah.
Which is obviously a very dangerous mindset. Would you agree or disagree, Lucretia?
Yeah, I would agree that, you know, the state that Buddy is in right now, he certainly doesn't need to be working with a partner, no matter how cute a couple they made. Yeah.
Yes, and it just always seems you know, last episode, or I think it was the last episode when they blew up the bus, right? You know, it's one of those, as Mac says to the broker, like, I had to move in. And in this regard, like, the fact that they're staking out these guys, Credence, and just completely get, I don't for lack of a better term, caught. obviously, as they say, like, we got to move on this fast. And so they're given no choice but to take measures that perhaps, well, in Mac's own words, aren't cautious and careful. And obviously, it leads to the big cliffhanger that we have at the end, which was so fantastic. How do we? I don't know. Let's talk about the ending because it's so loaded. You know,
I was on the edge of my seat at the ending because I don't have everybody's scenes. I definitely didn't have that scene. Mm-hmm. I was so surprised. I really wanted to be like Detective Olsen. No, you don't want to be right here right now. I wonder what's going to happen on episode 8, because I know what's going to happen for me, but I wonder what's going to happen to Mac or Buddy, you know?
Yeah. Buddy. I have those
pills and everything, so.
Well, let me ask you guys this. You know, obviously it sets up a really nice cliffhanger, but why would Olsen in that moment choose to go after Mac? Like, is he not aware of what's kind of going on? There's guys and things like that, and I get that he might be preventing, in his mind, what might be a killing. But yeah, it's just the world's worst time. Like, dude, you're going to get everyone here killed.
Well, it was probably because he just finished arguing. Mm-hmm. With Cliff about Cliff's situation, so he probably was like, "All right," so he just went out, stalked Mac, see where he was going, followed him, ended up with a gun in his hand. I don't know. Can you arrest somebody like that just because they have a gun in their hand?
Definitely not.
Yeah,
that was pretty weird, but And then the ending, when Mac freezes up,
yeah,
and he says, you know, but that was pretty good. But Detective Olsen, he was probably mad from Cliff's perspective, and to say that the sister said that. After 15 years, you didn't call him after 15 years and you care for him. Doesn't really make sense. So he decides to go follow Mac, see what he's doing, because he believes his thing that he always believed from the beginning.
Yeah.
Mac did it.
Well, even kind of taking a quick side note, I do like how at the station he's told, like, hey, you know, Mac is a veteran. And you're not, so you don't know what it's like to go through that. And obviously, you know, I think that's a good sentiment to give him. Now, it doesn't change the fact that Mac is doing this and is responsible for these things. But I do like that it was told to him, and yet, you know, obviously, it ends up having no weight whatsoever.
Yeah, and that's the thing is it's really hard to. Be on Detective Olsen's side, even though he is a cop and is supposedly like doing the right thing, because there is that lack of acknowledgement as to what Mac has been through. While murder is wrong, you don't know the situation. And, you know, he's really sort of not a great guy himself. He's banging Cliff's sister, you know, using her for information in a way. So, yeah, I mean, it is one of those things where everybody's a little bit gray, but I do feel, or I may say this for predictions. Yeah.
Fair enough.
You know, I was like, got a good one.
Well, obviously, we know one. We Burkhalter, right? I think that's what his name. He's officially dead.
Yeah.
After he had passed out, and so now it's Credence. So it's to my count. Correct me if I'm wrong. If you know Josh, Joshua or Lucretia, it's four people in the warehouse, and then obviously, Buddy and Mac, and now Olsen.
Yeah.
So three different. Well, four different sides, technically, because the suppliers, or whatever we want to call him, they're on their own side as well. And Credence, he's preparing himself for a gunfight, too. I mean, the way he loads that, you know, he loads his gun, he's like, all right, let's do this so we can get home. Let's go to the titty bar, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Do we want to just jump into predictions, because it's just so exciting and we're left on. By the way, the song, that was the kicker. I mean, it's one thing to have that cliffhanger, but basically, I forget the lyrics, but you said, Lucretia, it's "What's Happening" by the Marquees.
Yes.
That was such a great song of like, we want to know. It's basically saying we want to know what happens next.
Yeah. What's happening?
Yes. But all right, let's. Why don't we move into predictions?
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
What do you predict, Lucretia?
I feel that that flashback or flash forward, really, that we had in the beginning is what we're sort of leading up to. And I feel that the guy that Mac fights and, you know, ultimately seems to kill in the water is Detective Olsen.
People have been speculating that, and many people have kind of gone back in and tried to rewatch that scene to see if it is Olsen. And there's no conclusive evidence that is indeed Olsen. So that's interesting. Definitely could go that way. Joshua, what are you most excited to see? It doesn't have to be a prediction. I know you don't want to spoil anything, but what are you excited to see, at least in terms of storyline?
I'm excited to see what happens to Detective Olsen. But as the trailer, no, not the trailer, the commercial for episode 8, you know that Mac is still alive because he's talking all throughout it, you know? So, and then they have the war in it, and it gives you a little feel of some other flashbacks that's going to go on in the episode. So I'm excited for those things.
Yeah, I am excited for the, yeah, it does seem like a good portion of the episode itself sort of does explain the backstory of who Mac really is. And that's obviously the war. And so it'll be exciting to sort of go there. And it looked wonderful. I mean, I think they strategically chose which moments to go into Vietnam because it's not an easy thing to film. You know, you can end up spending a lot of money, but I think they strategically put their money into this portion. They're going to show us quite a bit, not just like a small little nugget.
Yeah.
Yeah, and luckily in New Orleans, you can get some pretty decent areas that are going to look a lot like Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's cheaper to film there.
That it is. So I'm most excited. I can't wait to see what happens. And I wonder if we're going to tie this up nicely or if we're left with like another cliffhanger. But either way, I'm excited nonetheless.
Season finale.
That's right. Season finale indeed. So thank you guys as always for joining us. Let us know your comments on the episode in the comments section. We love reading it. There's so many great things. Joshua, where can people follow your budding new career as an actor?
You can follow me on Twitter at jwilliams504 and my Instagram at realjdub.
J. Williams 504, you said?
Yes.
Yeah, J. Williams 504.
Excellent. We'll definitely follow you, and we'll have to check out that dance posted by Logan on Instagram. So that'll be fun. If you haven't seen that.
Yeah,
check it out. Lucretia, where can people follow you?
You guys can always find me at LACRETIALYON anywhere on the internet, since there is only one.
There you go. And follow us here at AfterBuzz TV. This is, for season one, a goodbye, little Carisha. However, we've got Courtney coming back for next episode, so it's a little switcheroo, as mentioned. And I believe we should have, as of right now, I won't say who because, scheduling always... I don't ever want to ruin the surprise, but I do believe we have a final special guest for episode 8. So very exciting. Hopefully it all works out. Nonetheless, it promises to be a very exciting episode, so I can't wait to talk about it with you guys, and I'm sure you guys can't wait to watch it. So until then, bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.